Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. This hour, we are talking about the abundance of resources that can keep you informed, educated, and entertained while you are staying at home. Many places have come up with new ways to offer their services or even their performances and hands-on activities. We have two regular Maine Calling guests and all-around knowledgeable people joining us today. Janet McKenney is Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library, and Brian Kevin, Executive Director at Down East Magazine. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good to be with you.
It was nice to talk to you all. Sorry we're not in a studio together as usual. As always, we want to hear from you in the audience. Have you found any great websites or ways to find information while you're stuck at home? Anything fun or funny to recommend? After all, it's Friday afternoon. Are you looking for ways to make it easier to keep the kids engaged? Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. So welcome to both of you. Janet, I'm going to start with you. I know it's a very strange time for librarians who are used to helping people face-to-face and being a direct resource, also a real gathering place. Many libraries have meeting places. They host speakers and musicians and book clubs and things like that. So you're offering help in other ways. Tell me how libraries around the state are communicating with people and what kind of services they're offering right now.
Well, it's definitely going online and going online big time. Libraries are Facebook streaming their story times. They're using Zoom to run book discussions. They're highlighting all the electronic resources that has been around for a while, but people haven't necessarily been utilizing to, you know, the greatest extent. And everybody's just trying to pump up their electronic resources, but also worrying about those people in Maine that don't have any internet connection, because they're the ones that are really missing out, you know, during this time.
What is something that some of those rural libraries are doing? How can they reach people who don't have broadband access?
So, you know, a lot of them mail out newsletters. One librarian, I was so impressed. She's doing pen pal letters with the kids that normally come to story time. So, you know, people are just being really creative with solutions. Another library decided they were going to just take the books that normally they would do in their book sale, and they just put them out on a bookshelf spaced apart so that people can come and take a book and they don't have to worry about ever returning it. They can just keep it so that they have something to read. So depending on the community and what the resources are available and where the library is located, they're trying very hard. But they're there doing reference by telephone as well, you know, so that back to some of the older technologies to supply services. So we just did a recent survey with our libraries, finding out, you know, what services they are offering via email, via phone, via, you know, what other kinds of resources.
So even though the library is closed, people are working inside. And if you need to find out information, most likely you can call your local library and someone will look that up for you.
Yes, definitely. And they're advertising other ways. Many of them, the staff is at home, but they're still, you know, reading email and they're still able to, you know, pick up any messages left on the library phone if there isn't anybody in the building at the time somebody calls. So they're doing a really, really good job of adapting to a wildly changing environment. And it happens, you know, from one day to another. As you know, things are changing as far as, you know, staying at home versus having, you know, a low number of people in the library, and, you know, what the municipalities may or may say about, you know, library staff being in the building and how many can be in the building and all that. So it's rapidly changing, and it's different for all of our different communities, and it's different for our libraries that are municipal libraries versus nonprofit libraries, which we have more of our libraries are nonprofit entities than our municipal departments.
Brian Kevin, your magazine is often filled with suggestions for places to go and things to do in Maine. Much of that doesn't really apply right now. There aren't shows going on. There aren't festivals. A lot of interesting destinations are shut down. How are these places finding ways to still reach people?
Yeah, there are some, which has been a fun thing to keep tabs on. I mean, primarily, maybe exclusively, they're doing it over the web, and we're sort of keeping a running weekly summary of how the state is responding to the crisis. And a lot of the items that have made it into those posts have been places like the Chocolate Church Art Center in Bath, which arranged for musicians to hold a sort of living room concerts and streaming concerts. The 317 Maine Community Music Center in Yarmouth did something similar. And so I think folks might be wise to check in with their favorite, you know, music and performance venues and see if they're orchestrating kind of neat streaming events like that. I know I spent a little while the other day, you know, I live in Greater Camden and Greater Rockland, and the CMCA, the Center for Maine Contemporary Art in Rockland, is a favorite place, and I'm a member, and it's disappointing to not be able to go over there, but they put together a really neat virtual walkthrough of the museum and the current exhibition that's available on CMCA website. I think it's cmcanow.org, where you can really just sit there with your mouse and click from not just room to room, but from piece to piece that's hanging or that's installed, and then read the sort of interpretive placard that goes along with it. I lost a good 40 minutes to that the other day, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't know of any others right now, but I kind of imagine that other arts institutions and museums across the state are probably looking into doing something similar, depending on how long this drags on. So yeah, the arts and cultural institutions are finding some interesting ways to still, you know, get their message out.
I'm going to say this several times during the program. I invite any organization or individual who has an idea, a favorite website, doing something special online during this, as you said, this long stretch of being cooped up, Brian. Anybody who is in that position, go on to today's Maine Calling Facebook post and add your link under our comments thread. We're hoping to have that be a fun resource for people to go and get some ideas about things that they can do online, either by themselves or with their families. We're going to go to Kate, who's calling from Cumberland. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hi there. I am with Greater Portland Landmarks, and we have been working to get a lot of our resources up on our website, which is portlandlandmarks.org. We've been making our walking tours available as free interactive maps that you can use to explore Greater Portland from your computer, or you can even load a map on your phone and use it when you're out taking a walk to learn more about your neighborhood. We have a few up now, and we'll be adding more in the next few days. We've also made our kids' activity books available for free download on our website. And if you're looking for a project, we've put up a really great guide to researching the history of your house using only online resources.
Oh, great, Kate. And tell me how Greater Portland Landmarks made that happen so quickly.
Just our staff is really awesome, and we've all just been working together and shifting our focus to making things accessible for everyone.
Well, thanks so much for that that suggestion, and I welcome you to add to our Facebook post if you have a minute. Thanks so much. We'll go to Tom, who's calling from Farmington. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just calling to say that there's a bridge site, the card game bridge, called bridgebase.com, where four people can go and get online and play bridge with one another, so you don't have to come in contact with people.
That's fun. Tom, say that again. Bridgebase, BASE.com?
Right.
How fun. And is that free?
Yes.
great. I appreciate that tip. Have you been doing it, or is it?
Yeah.
What's the experience like?
I'm not very internet savvy, so I've had difficulty sometimes where I get disconnected, and then I have a hard time getting back onto the game. But it's a lot of fun. And you can talk to the people you're playing with, not actually talk, but, you know, type in a thing like nice game or, you know, good playing.
Oh, Tom, that sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you so much for letting us know about that, bridgebase.com. Janet, I know you play games online, but they're pretty sophisticated, aren't they?
Well, you know, I'm addicted to my Nintendo Switch, but I wish I've had time to, you know, like play video games. By the end of the day, I'm like so exhausted. I'm just kind of staring at the television and doing the Netflix deep dive. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of what I want to remind people is that a lot of people don't have good internet connection at home, but they do have cell phones. And if you have a smartphone, you can download the Cloud Library app. And many of our libraries have subscriptions for their patrons to the Cloud Library app. But if you don't have one and need one, you can get an e-card from the Maine State Library so that you have access to the Cloud Library.
Janet, I'm stopping you right there. What is the Cloud Library?
What is the Cloud Library? The Cloud Library is the state of Maine's ebook and audiobook platform. And so many of our public libraries, some of our school libraries, and a lot of the colleges have accounts. So you can go into your library and get a paper book under normal circumstances, but many people have Kindle Fires and cell phones and tablets. And with the Cloud Library, although it doesn't work with the old traditional Kindles, if your device can have an app put on it, then you can get this Cloud Library app and have a whole library of ebooks and audiobooks available to you.
Wow. So if you have a laptop, can you do it?
Yes, you can do it on a laptop. You can do it on a tablet. The only thing that it doesn't work on, just because of Amazon and Kindle and the technology, the regular kind of old Kindles that, you know, the Kindle Glow or, you know, the regular ones that are text only. It has to be like a tablet or a Kindle Fire or a laptop or a phone.
So tell us one more time how to sign up and how easy it is.
Well, I put it in the chat. So I put it in at the main calling there in the comment area. But basically, the state library, because any citizen in the state of Maine can get a Maine State Library card. If you don't have a library card and you can't get one from your library or your library doesn't participate, you can just go online, click the link that I just put there in the main call-in comments, and somebody will send you, you know, a barcode number to use that will provide you access to the Cloud Library.
Wonderful. So exciting. Speaking of librarians, I have Andy calling in from the Thomas Memorial Library in Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Great. Tell us what's going on there.
I am a librarian at Thomas Memorial in Cape Elizabeth, as you said. Currently, our staff, we're preparing a whole slate of virtual programming for the public via the Zoom platform, so people can access that on their computers, on their phones, on their tablets. In addition to story times and crafts for children and families, we have a weekly eldering group for seniors who are especially prone to isolation right now. We're also putting together multiple programs around issues of mental health, wellness, mindfulness, meditation, stress reduction, and coping techniques in order to give people some outlets to speak. We're collaborating with local mental health professionals who are going to be doing regular programming. We're doing weekly mental health wellness education sessions and open discussions with therapists and social workers. And we'll also be hosting, virtually hosting, Maine Health's 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction class. as well as meditation instructions and practices. And this is all available to anybody that is hearing this right now. It doesn't have to, they don't have to be Cape Elizabeth residents. It can be anybody anywhere in the world. There's going to be more information constantly updated on our website at thomasmemoriallibrary.org. You can sign up for our e-newsletter and follow us on social media. We'll be updating all those with information. And if people just want to see a friendly face, have a conversation, we're also having daily coffee hours every morning at 10 a.m. where people can just drop in, have a chat, and we're going to be doing trivia nights, book groups, songwriting workshops. It's all on our website, thomasmemoriallibrary.org.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for calling in, Andy. So many creative things going on. Brian, I heard you trying to jump in there a minute ago. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say thanks to Janet for letting me know about the Maine State Library card, just because I downloaded that app earlier this week, but realized my local library subscription had lapsed and I thought I was out of luck. I think one really interesting thing about all this, though, and silver lining is probably too strong of a phrase, but it is interesting to think about the number of folks who maybe, like the caller talking about Bridge, don't necessarily consider themselves particularly internet savvy, or who maybe had never heard of Zoom until a week ago, and who, because they're looking for some outlet and some social interaction, are going to push themselves beyond their boundaries a little bit and try out some of this technology. We are hosting, Down East that is hosting in a few hours at 5 p.m. tonight, our first attempt at like a digital happy hour with the editors and contributors. So I just sent out a Google Hangouts Meet link this morning to like 130 people, and it's either going to be a ton of fun or a complete fiasco. But I love that we're all kind of spreading our digital wings a little bit and finding new ways to make connections. And I hope when life goes back to some semblance of normality, you know, whenever that might be, we retain some of those skills and new ways of connecting with one another.
Sure. I'm one of those people spreading my digital wings as I read messages off Slack right now, which I had resisted for a really long time because I thought it was going to be really hard and is not. As same with Zoom. So all of you are hearing about all these Zoom meetings and you think that sounds very newfangled and scary. I'm going to tell you it is not. It's easy. Right, Janet?
It is. We've been using Zoom as a platform with our libraries for probably close to 3 years now, but now it's one of the ways that people can easily talk to each other and see each other face to face. And that's, you know, it's hard to replace that in-person contact of walking into a library. But if a patron can now go into a Zoom room and see the reference librarian, or the kids can see the person doing story time, it just brings us more together, but keeps that physical distance that we need to keep right now.
All right. And well, we are going to take, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
Well, I say there's certain advantages to doing some of these things in these platforms. I'm a board member at the Maine Writers and Publishers Association, and one thing folks should check out is they've taken their whole slate of workshops and put them in an online format using some of these technologies. It's the kind of thing where you might ordinarily not be able to pick up and head to Camden, you know, for a 5-hour workshop, but you have a lot more flexibility to be able to do something like that online. And so, you know, you take the good with the bad.
We are going to take a quick break. We'd love to hear your ideas. What have you discovered online? How are you keeping yourselves occupied? And do you have any resources you'd like to share with others? More of your comments and questions when we come back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Lamy Wellahan Shoes, helping Maine students attend college in their home state through the annual Maine Difference Scholarship. More at lwshoes.com. And Maine Community Foundation, proud to support Maine Calling, a forum for ideas and issues that matter most. MaineCF.org.
COVID-19 has changed daily life in the U.S., and with news breaking by the hour, it can be hard to stay up to date. I'm Ari Shapiro. Join us every weekday for a new live conversation about the disease, what you need to know, what's coming next, and we'll answer your questions. The National Conversation with All Things Considered, live every weekday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, from NPR News.
And you can tune in to hear that weeknights at 9 here on Maine Public Radio. Many households find themselves with kids at home all day long. Might we suggest a couple of valued educational resources that will make their time worthwhile? Maine Public's PBS Kids 24/7 is a free, over-the-air television channel that is a wonderful learning environment with trusted educational, non-commercial programming for those younger folks. And PBS Learning Media is a free, online, educational K-12 learning resource with material and lessons for children and young adults of all ages. You'll find PBS Learning Media at mainpublic.org. Please click on the education drop-down and enjoy.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, ideas for ways to stay informed and engaged while you are staying at home. My guests, Brian Kevin, Executive Director for Down East Magazine, and Janet McKenney, Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library. Join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now is Beth Lambert. She is Coordinator of Secondary Education and Integrated Instruction with the Maine Department of Education. Thanks for calling in, Beth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
With all the students learning from home, I'm sure that kids as well as their parents need some help. Any ideas for good educational resources?
Absolutely. At the Department of Education, we've been working hard to develop our website so there's a place for families and educators to come to because it can be quite overwhelming in the world right now with all of the links and resources that are coming at educators and families to keep up or to know which are reliable and good resources, safe resources for the children. So we've really taken the mantra at the department to, we're trying to be the link, not just share the links, so that it's not an ongoing list of links, as we've worked to develop really meaningful experiences for educators and families as they come to us for guidance and help. We've hosted online office hours for people to join us where they're able to connect with other educators and network and share. A lot of what we're doing right now feels like crowdsourcing, figuring out what is working and then sharing it widely with others as we develop and build those out. And supporting not just continuity of education, which is important, but we know that education won't continue if students at home aren't feeling comforted and safe. So we've built out several resources around helping support children and families and also educators during this time of great stress and difficulty and changes and uncertainty as we go.
And where's the one-stop shop for all of that?
Sure. We can go to maine.gov/DOE/COVID-19. And we continue to add to that and build it out and make it more user-friendly and accessible every day.
What are you suggesting for those who may not have internet? Any good way to access educational materials and continue learning from home?
We're really working with our schools as partners, obviously, to be reaching out to families and to be providing the best no-tech, low-tech opportunities for students. We're building out libraries of what we're calling learning experiences that are really authentic, project-based, things that they can do with little to no technology and or just financial resources, such as, you know, guided nature walks where we can help students with looking at nature, connecting with science principles, math, social studies, arts, physical education, all in one kind of large interdisciplinary learning experiences that schools can make available to families, where it's not about completing a quantity or a number of educational experiences, but rather about the depth and keying in on the key concepts that are going to be critical to students as we keep moving education forward.
Beth, thanks so much for calling in. That's Beth Lambert with Maine's Department of Education. Such a challenging time for so many students and parents. Calling in now, Julie Horn, who is Visual Arts Director with the Maine Arts Commission. Thanks for calling in, Julie.
Thank you, Jennifer.
It is a tough time for artists of all kinds right now. Many are self-employed. Others require an audience, which isn't really happening anymore. Are there resources for artists trying to figure out ways to keep working or how to present their work to audiences in new ways?
Yeah, so if it's okay, at first I just want to give a shout out to especially art organizations because they have a mission to fulfill, and I think they're doing a great job in trying to do that. You know, they have a passion about their mission, which includes a lot about education and entertainment on arts and culture. So we really want to stand behind them and support them in trying to fulfill that. So just like everybody has said, they're having to move to doing a lot of offering online content, but they're trying to do it in very interesting and creative ways. So I just wanted to give a couple of examples. One thing that really struck me was I appreciated Portland Ovations, who had to cancel their live stage version of the classic 1960 book, The Snowy Day. Everybody's had that, read that or read it to their children. Just a wonderful, beautiful book. So they changed their programming to be called A Snowy Day at Home, which I thought was really wonderful and versatile. So now on their website, they give kids an online interactive game that actually features Peter, the boy from the story, and he's kind of sledding down and catches some snowflakes and throws some snowballs. And so there's a way for them to kind of interact and play with him. And they also have an animated read aloud of that story as well. And they also have some videos of the production of the play that I hope eventually they'll be able to show. And also the Maine Craft Association, as fine craft, they still wanted to offer a sort of tactile, hands-on experience. That's important for them. So they created a program with one of their members, Tim Christensen, who's an amazing clay artist. And what they do is people that register and want to try this, it's for no experience necessary. Anybody can do it. And what they do is they mail participants these beautiful porcelain cups and tools. And then they have a video sort of conference with the group for all the participants. And Tim actually teaches them in real time how to draw and etch designs and so on the surface of the cup. So they're kind of having a real-time workshop together. And then the pots are shipped back to the Maine Craft Association where they're fired, and then they ship them back to participants. So I think that was a great way to continue things that are being sort of hands-on and tactile and just not just kind of watching things online. And also, if you want to get into studying more about sort of our Native American culture, the University of Maine Hudson Museum has a YouTube channel, and it has some great educational videos of Wabanaki artists and culture. One of the videos has these great simplified animations that show how traditional wigwams and canoes are constructed, and there's one that explains ashwood harvesting, as well as having interviews with some of the great master Wabanaki basket makers like Clara Keiser and Molly Neptune Parker and Jeremy Fry. Another one that kind of stuck out to me, which is the Casco Bay Movers is a dance studio, and it is offering online drop-in dance classes for adults. So if you have ever felt nervous about learning how to dance in a group, you can actually do that now. I believe it's via Zoom, where you can learn how to dance like in your own kitchen. So grab a chair or, you know, your bathrobe and treat that as your partner. And so they're going to show you how to do that. Doesn't that sound great? Another thing is, I think it's really great, and I'm not sure if anybody has mentioned this yet, is the self-initiated pop-up Zoom dance parties that are really kind of connecting. So anybody can kind of start it up, and you can, you know, invite your friends to this Zoom meeting, and somebody puts on the music, and you put on your camera. And you just kind of all dance together, you know? You can either pick a song that everybody's going to listen to or however you want to do it. But it's really crazy when you're seeing all these picture frames, you know, on Zoom, people dancing to the same song and just having a great time. So it's a way to keep your body moving.
Well, that sounds like fun, Julie. I don't know if we ever got to the original question, even though these are all sorts of great ideas. What about for artists? Are there resources available for artists who aren't able to practice their craft, to do their thing the way that they usually do?
Yeah, so I think it's really important. Also, artists are kind of micro-organizations, so I think it's important that we remember that they also have programming that they want to reach out and work with the public as well. So somebody else has, I think, talked about earlier about musicians doing these sort of Facebook Live feed performances, and they advertise their shows through Facebook, and they have sort of a virtual tip jar, which is usually a link to a PayPal that they ask for suggested donations. But they're also offering, I think this is great, a weekly happy hour show. So it's a live feed, so you can actually have your own happy hour show and have entertainment at the same time, so you don't have to go out afterwards after you've had a few beers. They encourage you to use the special feature on Facebook that allows you to simultaneously watch it with your friends, so actually everybody can be happy hour and watching the show at the same time. So I think that's fantastic that artists and performers, which is really their desire, is to perform and make that connection as best they can. And for visual artists, you know, this is a group that's really suffering to get work out in front of people. And so there's this great initiative that's going. It's called Artist Support Pledge. And what the premise of it is that artists post images of their work on Instagram. And they have they've been asked to basically sell work, you know, pretty cheaply, like no more than $250, and anyone can buy the work. But every time that artist reaches $1,000 in sales, they pledge to spend $250 to buy another artist's work. So this is a way to keep the money in amongst the artists to help each other. But it's also great because anybody can buy it, and it's very affordable. And people who are interested in collecting or getting into collecting artwork have the opportunity to buy sort of rising contemporary artworks, great artists.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in with all those ideas. That's Julie Horn with the Maine Arts Commission. I want to go to, let's see if I can find this now, a post about, yes, this is an email from Eli. There are major problems with security with Zoom bombing problems. Our virtual town hall has just been canceled because of it. Janet, talk about the issues with Zoom, because for so many people, Zoom has just really been a lifeline during this COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, there are a lot of things that you can do to stop Zoom bombing. And part of it is, you know, people are jumping into a platform and using it, but they haven't really studied it. So depending on whether you have a Zoom Pro account or a Zoom Free account, there are ways to lock Zoom down. So one of the biggest things is screen sharing. So if in your kind of Zoom settings, if you only allow screen sharing for the presenter, then no, you know, unsavory character can come into your Zoom meeting and take over the screen and throw whatever, you know, crazy pictures they want. So part of that's a setting. Zoom also recently put in something. I noticed it this morning. The default is now that there is a waiting room and you allow people in as they come in. So as a Zoom room owner, and we have a Zoom Pro account at the State Library, we can really tighten up those restrictions. So I would encourage people that have Zoom to look into the settings and really kind of go in and explore it. And they have great help at Zoom. And there are other platforms. You know, it's typical that, you know, because Zoom is super popular now, that, you know, people want to play around and be mean and try to, you know, do bad things. A librarian down at the MacArthur Public Library is utilizing something called Jitsi, which is another video conferencing, easy to use software as well that people could explore, you know, and, you know, just it doesn't have as big of a name as Zoom. So it's, you know, less likely although next week I'll be hearing about Jitsi bombing, but, you know.
Edward on Facebook wrote a post. He says, I miss being able to see my grandchildren so much. Last Sunday, we got on FaceTime, and I read them a story, which was pretty fun. This week, I ordered two sets of the game Battleship and had one sent to their house and one to mine so they can play at home, and I can also play with them over FaceTime. So FaceTime is sort of, you know, one step easier than Zoom, maybe. You know, on your phone, you're actually looking at the person you're talking to and being creative with that. Brian, thoughts?
Oh, my kids and I have been playing a lot of games over the course of the last couple of weeks, doing a lot of art projects and that kind of thing. But I'm remembering it's been a decade plus since I carried on like a correspondence game of chess with somebody where you have the board set up in one person's home. That is a lot of fun. And, you know, just in the name of getting away from some of this screen time, you know, trying to launch something like that with a friend. Yeah, there's 100 websites where you can play chess together right now. But if you find yourself with some time on your hands and would like some time away from the screen, maybe you do that. Correspondence chess or Battleship is perfect for it. I love it. You know, I'll toss something else out there about getting away from screen time. And this is a little self-serving, obviously, but I also really mean it. Subscribe to something in print right now. If you have the means and if you find yourself with some extra time to read, because we're all going to be spending an inordinate amount of time looking at screens lately, and there's plenty of good stuff to read on the internet. But, you know, a magazine like ours, I'm on this show a lot talking about events and things to do and calendar-ish type stuff, but ultimately it's a pretty small part of what we do, which is storytelling and a lot of sort of long-form sit-down, you know, 5,000-word reads about aspects of Maine culture with you know, a lot more attention paid to graphics and photography and research and things than you're going to find in a lot of online writing. And that's true of any print magazine you might pick up and subscribe to. I also think that journalists in general are working harder than ever right now, and all the folks at MPBN or Maine Public rather are nodding somewhere. And this goes for newspapers and it goes for magazines, and they're being read more than probably a month or two ago. I think there's numbers to back that up, and they deserve your support. So tuck into like a nice long story on paper sometime in the coming weeks and give your eyes a break from the monitor.
Thanks, Brian. Before we go to a break, I want to go to Bob in China. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. Just one more suggestion with Zoom. I'm a big Zoom user, and for our friends meeting, one of the things we've used is a password. Setting a password is something that you can then email out to your members so that they can share so that no one else has it. The one other thing I noticed this morning that Zoom has an update, so people should update their version. It did say that there were security things that had been added. So that's a good plus for us so that we can continue to keep zooming. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. We are going to take another quick break. If you have something to add to this conversation about resources to keep us all feeling engaged and feeling like, you know, inspired even or laughing during this stay at home stretch, give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Side by Each Brewing in Auburn, whose takeout menu includes homemade sodas, coffee, and beer to go. SideByEachBrewing.com.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, I'll talk with Daniel Kahneman, an expert on human behavior, about why people have failed to grasp the seriousness of COVID-19.
Things are growing exponentially, and what we see today are infections that occurred 2 or 3 weeks ago. All of this is beyond intuitive human comprehension.
That's Daniel Kahneman, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour.
And that's coming up tomorrow afternoon at 2 and Sunday evening at 11 here on Maine Public Radio.
I'm Marco Werman. Preparation, as you know, is job one when you're anticipating a crisis. Same goes for our newsroom at The World. Our reporters and producers are following events in every time zone. Their contacts include doctors, epidemiologists, and public policy experts. They deal in the facts that can help us live through a pandemic. Be prepared. Be informed. Listen to The World.
And that's coming up this afternoon at 3 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today we're talking about ways to access the world from your home, resources and ideas for staying engaged and informed during this crisis. Joining me, Janet McKenney with the Maine State Library and Brian Kevin with Down East Magazine. If you'd like to join this last stretch of our conversation, call quickly, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. An email from Irene, two great podcasts to listen to that I believe will help people emotionally and psychologically get through this period are The Happiness Lab by Yale professor Dr. Lori Santos and Unlocking Us by shame researcher Brené Brown. These podcasts both provide actionable ways to help manage, protect, and strengthen our mental health and resilience during these times and beyond, and provide for an overall great listening experience. Janet, Brian, are either of you podcast listeners?
Oh, of course.
What do you like? What do you recommend, Brian?
Oh, geez. All of my podcasts are nerdy things about writing and journalism, or they're comedians sitting there and shooting the breeze. But honestly, there are so many good comedy podcasts out there, and it is a good time to find yourself with an excuse for a laugh. I'm trying to think of anything I can recommend that's not like rated, like rather adult. Give me
a
minute.
Well, you think about that for a second, Janet. You go.
Yeah, you know, I don't have as much time for podcasts, although now I should if I wasn't so busy. If I'm listening to something, I don't even do audiobooks in the car because I'm so easily distracted in my, you know, hour and 15-minute long commute. But, you know, one of the other things besides podcasts that I just wanted to mention was the Digital Maine Library has some things that, you know, could really help people. So we have, there's a way to learn a foreign language now online, and it's totally free, called Pronunciator. And then all the genealogy people, the Ancestry.com that used to only, AncestryLibrary.com that only used to be available while you were sitting in a library, they've loosened those restrictions. So now people can access it from home. So, you know, there's tons of resources. So I posted the Digital Maine Library link also at your Facebook page there. And even we have Chilton's Library, which helps with car maintenance and repairs. So if people are at home and they want to learn to fix their car, there's a resource there for them as well.
Fun. Did you think of one, Brian?
I thought of two that I like a lot that are both Maine-y. I'm trying to stay Maine. There's my pal Joe Riccio's Food Coma podcast, which is one of my favorite things to listen to. Joe, in addition to being a bon vivant and just a you know, for a person a lot of Mainers will recognize, he's a really great interviewer, and the conversations he has on that show are a ton of fun. I also really enjoy the Spose podcast, which is Ryan Peters, who goes by Spose as a rapper and who also is an incredibly bright guy, and his like 70 episodes or something into an interview podcast where he sits down with folks who have something to do with Maine or something to do with rap. And even if you don't think you care about either of those things, really bright dude and great at coming up with questions. A nice interview podcast is a good way to pass the time.
Great. A tweet from the Bangor Public Library. Remember, anyone in the state can have a card with the Bangor Library. Just call us at 947-8336 and leave a message, and we'll get you all set up with a card to access all of our e-resources, including Cloud Library, Recorded Books, Tumble Books, Flipster, and more. I'm not even going to ask what all those things are. I'm going to let you explore, people. We're going to go to Kelly, who's calling from Blue Hill. Go ahead, Kelly.
I've been doing chalk drawings on the sidewalks in front of my neighbor's doors. Yeah, like hearts and sunshines and smiley faces and flowers. And
that's a great idea.
Also, yeah. Also, in the roundabout in Blue Hill, I did some, I wrote We Care all on all the four intersections, you know, just like moral support things. Of course, then it rained, so I need to do it again. And the other thing was my neighbors, when their helpers came and brought them groceries or whatever, they were showing their artwork through the window, or the crafts or whatever they're working on. And I thought that would be cool, you know, if people hang things up in their windows, like, yay, community art.
Well, Kelly, thanks for the suggestions. I really appreciate you calling in. I'm going to go just down the coast to Lincolnville. And Rich, hi, Rich, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Earlier, you were talking about resources for artists. I teach a course in ecological intelligence for artists, really about, you know, showing artists new ways to tap into nature and then to communicate what they learn through their art. Normally, it would be it's a paid course, but for the, you know, for the current situation, I've opened it up for free. So if there were artists around who are interested, what we do is a lot of normally we would go outside and observe nature and, you know, interact with it, but we're adapting a little bit for the next month, so there'll be more contemplative exercises. That you
Rich, get. Tell us again how to access that.
Sure, it's oika.com. So that's oika.com.
Thank you so much for calling in, and good luck with that. That's, it sounds like a great project. We're going to go to Nancy, who's calling from Cape Porpoise. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm spending the time catching up on my back issues of magazines, specifically probably 3 years worth of New Yorkers.
And I'm you're not the only one.
I'm wondering if it's safe to recycle or donate them, and if so, where would be a good place to do that. And also real quick, don't forget your kindly trash folks, trash picker uppers. I left a bag with some candies and oranges the other day for my guys, and they beeped their horns when they went by to pick up my trash.
Oh, what a nice idea. Janet, do you know about donating magazines, especially some of those highly desirable magazines like New Yorkers?
Well, so many of the libraries are closed, and some of them have their book drops open and closed. And, you know, there's still, there's a lot of controversy swirling around of, you know, how long can the virus live on this or that? Although we've been pretty much assured that the life of the virus on anything, a paper that's gone through the mail or, you know, has been left untouched for, you know, 24 hours or so is like safe to handle. So I think it would be tough. I'm trying to think, you know, through your community where people may be going out, you know, to make that available. I don't know. You know, I would suggest maybe she contact her local public library and see if there is a way for them to take the donation now, but I'm not sure if there would be a way for them to share it out into the community at this point. So,
all right. Well, thanks so much, Nancy, for your idea. And I guess the answer is call your local library. A couple emails here. One from Linda. Artist Kim Bernard is doing an art challenge on Instagram with daily prompts, and that is at Quarantine Art Challenge. So if you're an Instagrammer, it's at Quarantine Art Challenge. Brian? I thought you were saying something.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. But as long as you mention it, both Kelly and Rich brought up, you know, a notion of doing something out of doors. And we haven't really talked about that much in this hour, but I think it's worth noting. I mean, I kind of applaud the governor, for example, for making a point with each of her executive orders to invoke fishing and walking outside and just spending time out of your home and away from those screens. And obviously you have to do it intelligently and give people plenty of space and go to places if you have the liberty that are not going to be crowded. But I think it pays right now to maybe call your local land trust and say, I need to get out for a couple hours. Where can I go that I'm not likely to run into a crowd of people? I know the land trusts are dealing with crowds showing up to a few places.
Sure.
So it pays to maybe inspect it ahead of time.
And that was our conversation yesterday on Maine Calling about getting outdoors. And I've been corrected by my producers because I am apparently a Luddite. It is not at Quarantine Art Challenge. It is hashtag Quarantine Art Challenge. We've got artist Kate Wang. Waung is hosting a daily sketchbook challenge on Facebook. And that is, and I've got this right, at quarantine sketchbook challenge. We'll put some links to those on our webpage if you're interested. Alicia sent an email. I'm a little perplexed as to why the library couldn't establish a curbside system for book borrowing. I usually order my library books on the website and simply go to the library to pick up my books. A lot of the e-books are out, and I prefer the real thing. Janet, some thoughts on why we're not doing curbside book borrowing, or are some libraries doing that?
Some libraries were doing it, and we recently came out with the governor's last mandate about people trying to keep people at home and not out, and restricting people to really just going out to exercise or going to the grocery store or the pharmacy and just those really essential things to try to flatten the curve. And so there was a great concern that people were saying, well, you know, I'll go to the library. And so more people were there. You can't kind of control people coming. Some libraries were doing appointments. And it just didn't support the governor's ideas about people staying home, and also Maine CDC and Dr. Shaw's, you know, guidance as well. And so we do want people to get outside and do some exercising. It's better to stay closer to home.
Backyard, right? Yeah.
It's much better to, you know, go somewhere very local that you know, because you know, your car can break down, your bike can break down, and then you've got EMS coming, or you have somebody trying to do that. So I'm speaking very conservatively, you know, to really, really look at what opportunities can we do and really embrace that sense of staying close to home and restricting our activities. And, you know,
Janet, I'm going to have to wrap you up. Thank you so much. That's Janet McKenney, Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library. Brian Kevin, Executive Editor of Down East Magazine, both two of our favorite guests joining us for this hour. I can't go without saying that the UMaine Cooperative Extension wants to share that it's just started its Garden Chats series. Those are 1-hour Zoom sessions. More links to that online as well. On Monday, Maine Calling returns to our regular 1-hour program. And on Monday, we're going to talk with an infectious disease specialist. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Public Radio.